Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to The Cap, where we are here to speak with college reps and other professionals in the field of college admissions to help answer all your questions and guide you through every step of the process. So if you're serious about college admissions, you've come to the right place. Are you ready? Let's talk about it. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Durante. Welcome to The Cap, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce two amazing guests today. First, we have Nancy Gibson, who's the Director of Outreach and Recruitment in the Office of Undergraduate Admissions at The Ohio State University. Nancy, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
It's an honor and a pleasure. So glad to have you. And we also have Jill Biblow, who is a college counselor, an Ohio State alum, and parent of a current student, of course, at The Ohio State University. Jill, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I really appreciate you having me on the podcast today.
It's awesome. Can't wait to talk to you, Jill. I have to let everybody know that Jill is very special in the counseling world, that she was Natalie Portman's counselor. She graduated back in 99, but we'll talk more about that later on. I'm going to first start with Nancy. First of all, Nancy, it was a pleasure meeting you in LA at the NACAC conference, and it's an honor to have you on the podcast representing Ohio State University. My first interview, by the way, Nancy, with Ohio State was released back in February of 2022. I can't believe it. That was only episode number 3. So I have to ask, Nancy, what are some of the most notable changes on your campus that have taken place since that awesome episode number 3 with Ohio State?
Yeah, you know, so many things have happened since 2022. First and foremost, we actually put together a new general education curriculum. And obviously, this always gives students a way to, you know, be really strategic as they think about their time here at Ohio State and really creating a plan for what their academic journey is going to look like. So that was one of the first things that came to mind when I think about what's changed since 2022. We also actually have some new majors as well. So we have a new major in forensic anthropology. In the education area, we have primary education and visual impairment license, and then also just a major in visual impairment within education as well. And then we also have new amazing music facilities and a film technology building. We also have new facilities in our innovation district as well. So definitely new academic areas, which is exciting. And then lastly, we welcomed Ohio State's new 17th president, President Ted Carter, who came to us from the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. And he's going to complete his first year in January. And then we literally just named this past week our new executive vice president and provost, Ravi Belamukonda, who comes to Ohio State from Emory University, and he is going to begin in January of 2025. So all kinds of things going on here at Ohio State, but really exciting things as well.
Well, definitely a lot of new things going on. You mentioned some of the majors, forensics, anthropology, education. You have a 17th president, a new president, and a new provost. And I appreciate that you talked about the new general education curriculum where you want students to be strategic. So I just want to unpackage that a little bit, Nancy. Are you talking about more interdisciplinary opportunities for the students?
Exactly. Yeah, really an opportunity to you know, as they're thinking about what their academic journey is going to look like, it gives them an opportunity to put it together individually, where they're not necessarily doing exactly what another student is doing, but they're able to really put together courses that suit them best as they think about, you know, what they want to explore and ultimately what they want to gain from their Ohio State education.
Well, we appreciate that. So let's unpackage the academic programs just a little bit more. So what are some of your other most unique academic programs? And of course, what kinds of students would you say thrive in these opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, I would say first and foremost, you know, the types of students just in general that I think thrive and do really well at Ohio State are students certainly that are academically motivated, that are interested in you know, being open to new ideas and ways to explore their education experience. And so with that, we actually, you know, as a flagship, you know, public university, we expect that our programs are operating at the highest academic level, right? And obviously outstanding faculty, and we've got teaching and research as our mission. And so as a result of that, we talked a little bit about interdisciplinary opportunities within the general education curriculum, but some of the unique programs that we have, for example, are in biomedical sciences. So the unique thing about that is that students are able to do lab research very early on in their academic experience. And in this program, it's really one where you can make a large university small. They have mentoring kind of before, during, and after their journey. It's also actually within the College of Medicine, which offers obviously an abundance of great majors, but also with us having the Wexner Medical Center here on campus, it makes an incredible impact on Central Ohio as a provider of healthcare as well. So that's one of the things that we think is really great about what we're able to offer students, and something that's unique there. We also have aviation. Not every institution does. We have an airport here at Ohio State. And actually, there are three areas that students can pursue. They can pursue a BS in aviation within the College of Engineering, a BA in social sciences in air transportation, within the College of Arts and Sciences, or a BS in Business Administration, Aviation Management within the Fisher College of Business. So it literally touches on three different colleges within aviation. And then lastly, we've got the John Glenn College of Public Affairs. And with that, we actually have a combined degree in public administration, where they can get either a BA or a BS and then work towards a master's of public administration. Also, our Center for Civic Engagement is housed there as well. And John Glenn, as you probably know, a beloved astronaut and senator from Ohio. So that college is named after him as well. So certainly some unique things that students can pursue here at Ohio State.
Certainly a lot of unique opportunities, and no wonder why so many people want to come to Ohio State from the great state of Ohio and frankly, every other state and country outside of it. So how does tuition and financial aid differ for your in-state and your out-of-state students? And are there any unique scholarship opportunities for your out-of-state students to make Ohio State more financially feasible?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. Thank you. So we actually offer the National Buckeye Scholarship to select students who are from out-of-state. And then we also use the FAFSA, Free Application for Federal Student Aid, and we award need-based aid for both in-state and out-of-state students. We also have what we call Scholarship Universe, which is actually a one-stop place where students can go to be considered for a variety of different scholarships. For example, many of our alumni scholarships are listed there, and a variety of scholarships they can be considered for to help make Ohio State affordable as an out-of-state student.
Well, that's really good to know. Number one, you mentioned the National Buckeye Scholarship, but also your Scholarship Universe, which is truly unique. That's the first time something like that has come up in one of the podcast episodes. So, Nancy, just so you know, I always put the Office of Undergraduate Admissions in the show notes. Any of the links that you want to share with the students and the parents listening, of course, just send them to me and we'll make them available in the show notes. Now, another statistic that I want to share, I read, Nancy, that your retention rate is an amazing 94%, which represents the percentage of students that return to Ohio State after that freshman year. So what programs do you have in place to help students transition to your amazing school community while wanting to return each year?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it really is incredible, especially for a school of our size, to have a 94% retention rate. We're really, really proud of that. And we work hard to make sure that students have a great experience here. So the process actually here at Ohio State starts long before a student starts at Ohio State. So it begins with orientation, which takes place here on campus in June and July. And so students return to campus and get an opportunity to get registered for their courses, get exposed to information that's going to be important to them as they make the transition to Ohio State. And then we also work with students to make a smooth transition with several early arrival programs, where we assist students with coming in early, getting a chance to kind of get settled early on as they make the transition. We also assist students on move-in day. We help that kind of really to help them put them at ease. We do require students actually to live on campus for their first 2 years. So that process is a really important one. And we want to make sure that students are feeling comfortable and at home here at Ohio State. We also have learning communities and other cohort programs like our honors and scholars, and we've got our moral scholarship program. So lots of different ways that students can be able to connect within specific communities. And some of them are specifically connected to residence halls. And so they can have an experience there in that way. One thing that I did want to mention that I think is extremely unique is that we actually have a program called the STEP program. And this is a really unique program that students can do actually in their sophomore year. And it's one of those kind of retention things as you think about it. And if they participate in the STEP program, they actually have the chance to submit a proposal for a fellowship up to $2,000 that they can use for a STEP signature project. And it's actually a self-designed experiential learning opportunity. And there are 6 different areas they can pick from. For example, under leadership, you know, one student got a private pilot's license. Another student got a scuba certification. And another one attended a psychology conference. But all of that is a way that we can continue to keep students engaged and encourage them to explore. And so it's a really unique program that we've got in place, again, to continue to work on that retention.
Well, I appreciate that. And I knew that you were going to talk about a lot of different programs, which is why your retention rate is so high. And I asked the question because it's really a message to students getting ready for the college process and their parents that if you're trying to find the right fit, number one, look at the retention rate. It's definitely helpful. But perhaps more importantly, ask questions like, what do you do as part of the transition? Because if a school is mindful, like Ohio State University is, in terms of having things like the STEP program, learning communities, and other programs to transition all of those students from the thousands of high schools from throughout the country and beyond, if you're so mindful to transition them to this awesome community that you call the Ohio State community, it's definitely going to help students feel at home as part of that big community and, frankly, wanting to come back year after year. So I do think it's a good question for students and their parents to ask while they're trying to find their fit in there. So Nancy, we're going to give you a little bit of a break right now. I really appreciate the introduction, and I'm going to reintroduce Jill again. Jill is a college counselor. She's an alum from Ohio State, and she's currently a parent of a student there. So Jill, welcome again. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. So happy to be here.
Awesome. So Jill, why don't we start by asking you, what initially drew you to the Ohio State University when you were applying? And how did your experience there shape you personally and professionally?
Well, I grew up on Eastern Long Island, Hopog, which is out east on the way to the Hamptons. It was more of a blue-collar type of community. I'd say maybe 70% went on to either trade school or a SUNY college. So not many kids actually went away out of the state of New York, certainly. I recall only a handful of out-of-state colleges were actually even on my list, but I will never forget when I first even heard about Ohio State. It was a Saturday in the fall of 1988 during the application process. So this is like in the heart of, you know, applying to schools. I was at a friend's house in Lynbrook, which is on the South Shore of Long Island. And her dad was watching an Ohio State football game on TV and going like crazy with excitement. It was definitely a home game. I don't remember who it was with, but he pointed out to my friend, Nicole and I, the stadium and the spirit and the camaraderie around the school. And he encouraged us to apply out of our comfort zone. So I did. So I filled out an application, and my guidance counselor at the time was like, Ohio, why are you applying in Ohio? But a few months later, I remember being homesick from school, probably watching The Price is Right. And I don't know if you guys can remember, but back then you would wait to see if a large envelope came in the mail, right? And if
Absolutely.
It wasn't,
of course, I remember.
Big envelope, you were in trouble, right? So I was homesick, and I remember the mail came, and it was this thin envelope and it said Ohio State. And I was so upset. I was like, oh my God, I didn't get in. And then luckily I opened it up and it arrived. My heart sank. But after opening it, I was ecstatic to read of my admission. I actually still have the acceptance letter, which was hand typed, by the way, from admissions. You don't usually see that. Right. So the big packet follow. But my mom and I took a flight to Columbus to visit shortly after. And John, that was that. Within stepping foot on campus, I became a Buckeye, like literally for life. It was a done deal. There was no comparison to any other college I had visited. And this school was where I had always envisioned college to look like. The energy around the campus was palpable the minute you step on this campus. Everyone's wearing Ohio State gear, and you just feel that sense of belonging. So you asked me, you know, kind of personally, like, how has that, you know, being part of Ohio State those years? I was there from 89, you know, to 93. And Ohio State is me. It shaped my entire being. It was the perfect fit for me, as counselors like to say. I took on leadership roles within my sorority, within the School of Human Ecology, where I majored in child relations and family development. And I had always had a plan to become a certified school counselor. At the time, it was called guidance counselor. The education I received was absolutely phenomenal. Although it was a large university, my classes remained small. And I knew my professors really well. I took advantage of their office hours and all the resources on campus for academic support when I needed it. I made lifetime friends who I'm extremely close to. And I can't explain it. I'm a Nancy, probably can too. But once you're a Buckeye, it's just completely in your blood. professionally, I mean, where do I even begin? OSU set me up with an amazing academic success, which then led to my admission to NYU for my master's degree. Once at NYU, I obtained an internship at Weber Middle School in Port Washington, all because and only because an alumni of Ohio State saw my application resume, a guidance counselor, and scooped me up. She said she rarely took interns, but she would never turn an Ohio State alumni down. And I got an incredible internship because of the alumni. That was a huge connection for me. And I've been a guidance counselor for 27 years, and I can't even tell you how many kids I've encouraged to apply not only to Ohio State, but to the Big Ten system because of my experience being at Ohio State.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, full disclosure here, I've known Jill for about 27 years, and Jill to me is like family, and she truly is one of the best college counselors that I've ever known. And I'm not just saying that. And in fact, we'll put Jill's contact information in the show notes just in case anyone wants to reach out to her. She's always happy to help. So Jill, I know your pride in terms of Ohio State, and I know that you represent it better than anyone that I've ever seen. But as an alum, what more can you tell us about the sense of community and pride you still feel towards the Ohio State? In other words, so many people, for example, they still visit campus and attend athletic events with their families years after they graduated. So what is it like to be part of a school that has such rich traditions? What could you tell us, Jill?
I mean, I can tell you, I feel bad for anyone that doesn't have this, because just because you graduate from OSU doesn't mean you ever leave. And that's a big piece of this. We all go back. And even if we don't step foot on campus, we go back mentally. We have friends, we have alumni, we have an alumni network, we watch the games. It just doesn't leave. There's nothing, John, I keep telling you, you have to come. There is absolutely nothing like being in a stadium with 120,000 people all sharing love, not just for a football team, but Buckeye Nation. This includes everything and everyone affiliated with OSU. Alumni go back year after year to games and events because it's our home. The games bring us together, period. My most favorite tradition is when 120,000 people sing Carmen, Ohio, which is our alma mater, before and after the game.
Awesome.
You see football players win or losing a game. Okay, they just lost a game. They won a game, usually more winning than losing. And they all come together as 120,000 people with the football team singing this song. And I'm just going to tell you my favorite lines. It says, summer's here, winter's cold, and the seasons pass and the years will roll, but time and change will surely show how firm thy friendship, Ohio. And to hear that in the stadium, I mean, I have chills. Nancy, are you here That's with awesome. Me understanding this? There's just really...
Awesome. I'm with you.
There's really nothing. Yeah, there's just nothing like it. Also, I'm not sure if you would know this, John, but if someone is wearing anything with Ohio State, anything, a hat, a t-shirt, mm-hmm. and you say to them, O-H,
I-O.
A true Buckeye is going to respond with a hearty I-O. And I have to tell you, it's the coolest thing because I've done this not only all over the United States, but abroad. When I was in Australia, amazing. I saw someone wearing it, or I'm wearing it. And it's this crazy connection that it's like an unspoken language. It's really amazing. And it's so in my blood that I have not stopped giving back. It's like the least I can do. I don't have millions to give, but I have my heart. I stayed very active in my local alumni association. I serve as a Buckeye alumni recruiter, which is called BAR, where I, as an alumni, go to college fairs and try to recruit interested students. I'm also a member of the homecoming court judge. So I love, you know, reading all the applications and trying to pick students who are leaders at the university. I'm also a young alumni mentor. So students who are recent grads of Ohio State, they contact me and we talk about their communication skills, resume. Sometimes I just provide good old fashioned guidance when the kids are lost and not really sure which way they want to go in their career. But I just never want to let it go. Again, Ohio State is still very much my home. And although I'm not on campus all the time, I still stay connected pretty much any way that I can.
Well, like I said earlier, you definitely stay connected. And no one that I know represents it better than you, Jill. And you also have a daughter who currently attends Ohio State. So what is it like as a parent with a student at Ohio State, and how was the transition for your family from high school to college, you know, in these days, not back in, you know, the late 80s, early 90s when you and I were in college, Jill?
Yeah, so transition was really easy for Arden. She was born to be a Buckeye since OSU was in the blood. So I think that in her mind, she was always going to go away. She has the background as a sleepaway camp kid. So she was used to living away from home for extended periods of time. And I'm used to not having her home so much. And I also knew that I'd be back for a lot of games. So the tears didn't flow like a lot of other parents, because I knew that I would really get to see her so much. But I really also, you know, have to give a shout out to her high school, which is Syosset High School, just because she was really prepared for the rigor of college. You know, she really had great study habits. She kind of knew how to balance her caseload. And I really think that that was all, you know, based on having that experience in a competitive, rigorous type of school setting in high school. I also wanted to give a shout out to Ohio State because they really redid their general ed program. And I know that Nancy spoke about that. And I really don't know if Ohio State gets that kind of feedback. So I'm going to give it now as a parent. They're really, the general ed classes, they're really making the kids take courses to look not only at themselves, but others. They're cultural classes, which I think is so needed right when you start school and you're meeting different kids from different places, you know, really feeding into that diversity piece. She took a social justice class. She had to take a health and wellness class. She took a course in the history area of Israeli film, so getting in touch and learning about Israeli culture. So you know, these classes, the kids have a choice of these general ed courses. And I could tell where Ohio State is going with these themes. They call them themes. And I think that as new students, no matter what your major is, having these kids all take these classes together, no matter what your major is, you're all going to have to understand culture and understand diversity and understand where you are in this university and beyond. And I think these classes, whoever came up with them, was brilliant, because I think it's a really important way to start the 4 years of college. So I thought those classes really helped with her transition to campus and meeting kids from all over and all different majors. I also had Arden join our lead, which I don't think Nancy mentioned, at Ohio State. It's a program for future student leaders. So, you know, my daughter was very involved in a leadership program at Syosset High School called Peers as Leaders. And I know a lot of other high schools have these types of leadership programs. Ohio State lets kids who are these leaders come to school a week early and really get to know each other and learn leadership skills, so that when they start school, they could be the leaders in their dorm room and on campus and run support groups and run activities with all the other kids. She was also part of the OWL program, which is a subtake of kind of the R-Lead program, which helps other students move in. So because she was there a week early, she got to take part in helping other students move in, which gave her the opportunity to meet students again from all over the world, basically, and not only use her leadership skills, but get to meet new friends as well. So that retention rate, I think, also helps, because the kids starting to feel connected to this university even before school starts. That made the transition, I think, a lot easier for her.
Well, you definitely explained that extremely well. You talked again about the general ed curriculum, which again, every student takes, regardless of your major, in the case of your own daughter. You talked about the different themes, and she selected classes in social justice, health and wellness, Israeli culture, and so much more. This is all part of why there's that 94% retention rate. You also mentioned that OSU allows students to come to campus a week early to start early in terms of building that community and, you know, making those everlasting friendships early. So we really appreciate that, Jill. And I was just curious, Jill, as a school counselor, you work with students on their college journeys all the time. How do you help students determine whether a school like Ohio State or a large state university in general is a good fit for them? And are there particular qualities or characteristics you see in students that make them a great match for a university just like The Ohio State University?
It's the theme of large universities. Arden is proof of that. You know, Arden was a student that came to Ohio State with a diagnosed learning disability. I like to call it learning differently, not disability. And she is proof, because she definitely needed some academic support, and Ohio State was there. So we used their Office of Student Support Services that provide her with accommodations that she needs in order to be successful academically. And I must say it's working, because Arden has been on the dean's list every semester. The help is there, whether it's at Ohio State or pretty much any other. It's just knowing where to go. At a small school, it might seem easier because it's closer to wherever you're living.
Right.
So you might have to walk a little bit further, but it's there. There's also this myth that large schools mean large classes. I wish I could, you know, scream out to the world. That's not true.
Right.
Most of Ohio State's classes have under 30 students. Arden has some of her classes with 15 students. And now with remote learning, it's so cool. Students can actually have a choice of how they want to take their class. So, you know, which makes kids want to take more classes, because now, you know, they know that if they couldn't walk to class at night, but they still want to take that class, maybe they would do it online. Or maybe knowing that they don't have to get dressed at 8 o'clock, as long as they could stay in their pajamas from their room, they're apt to get up and do more work. So some of these big lecture halls that we used to have in the 80s don't have to be anymore. Kind of if you want to, they're there, but it's not necessarily the case. I remember when I was there, I took this huge lecture hall. It had over 500 kids in it. It was an anthropology course, which, by the way, I love so much that I told my mom I wanted to change my major and go to Zimbabwe to do a dig with the professor. That didn't pan out. There's something to those big lecture halls as well. But you know, awesome. What I must say is that, you know, who should go to one of these schools, whether it's Ohio State or another Big Ten, you know, kids that do well at Ohio State must have school spirit. I mean, let's get real. You have to have school spirit, or at least want that. When you walk on campus, like I said, everyone is wearing something Ohio State related. Mm-hmm. So that student should also want to be active. There are hundreds of clubs and organizations, a vibrant city a mile away, and countless sporting events to attend. So OSU students are doers, they're change makers, and they're leaders. You just feel it on the campus. Everyone is doing something, whether it's going to the RPAC, which is probably, I think, one of the largest, you know, physical education buildings in the country on a college campus, or getting involved in an a cappella group or a theater group, and even if it's not your major. There is an opportunity, I feel, for everyone. So to me, kids that are drawn to Ohio State and colleges like Ohio State are doers. You know, they really are. They have that school spirit. They want to meet people. They want to be around diversity, and they want to make a change.
Well, that's awesome, Jill. You gave us so much to chew on there. One thing that I want to repeat, because I think it's very important. My daughter as well, my youngest one, had a learning disability. And I, first of all, love the way you put it. It's not a learning disability. LD stands for learning differently. In your case, you talked about at Ohio State, they have an Office of Student Support Services. And even though Ohio State is a huge school, great message for students and parents to know that these support services are there, and you just have to learn and know where they are. They are there to support you. They have something for everyone, and we really appreciate that overview. So how did your experience as a school counselor influence your approach as a parent during your daughter's college search process? And were there any specific strategies or resources you found particularly helpful that other parents might want to consider?
Well, I must admit that being a school counselor made the search easy for us. However, just like any other parent, I had to do some basic research, as you know, college programs and admissions changes yearly. College is a huge investment, as you know, so taking the time to plan is paramount. We did many scheduled virtual visits online, which I think is really important for parents to take advantage of. These are scheduled visits that you pre-plan online, and you make a time. They're usually at night, so the kids are home. And that's a really nice thing for a parent to do with the student to get some great information about the school. We also went to a ton of college fairs to gather information. But, you know, your guidance counselor and your counseling department is really the best, because they're there to help you navigate the process and make appropriate recommendations. The school counselor should know you the best. And as a counselor at Syosset High School, I can proudly say that I work with the best of the best, and we help our students from start to finish. However, you know, for those students in other districts or states that do not believe they have sufficient support with the application process, I definitely highly recommend a private advisor like myself or someone else to assist the kids. You know, the process could be overwhelming, and having someone assist the family and the student can be a huge help and ultimately make a difference in admission. But to me, you know, start the process as early as you can, get involved with the kids, do it together. It doesn't have to be so, you know, anxiety provoking. You know, that would be my greatest advice, is to start the process early.
Well, we really appreciate that, Jill, and you, along with the entire department, are truly amazing. And you're absolutely right. the best of the best. And I'm so honored to work with all of you. So once again, we're going to come back to you, Jill. We're going to give you a little bit of a break. I am going to put all of your contact information in the show notes in case anyone is interested in reaching out to you. So Nancy, welcome back again. How are we doing over there?
You're just great.
Fantastic. So let's talk a little bit more about academic supports. And of course, people want to hear about your overall review process. So Nancy, I know we touched upon some of it already, but what academic and personal support services does The Ohio State University offer to help all students, regardless of their learning needs, achieve their full potential and navigate challenges during their college experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And Jill shared so many great things about the experiences that her daughter has had. I'll tell you that our academic advisors are assigned to students to help them feel connected right off the bat. We also actually have the Dennis Learning Center, where we have free academic coaches, workshops, tons of resources for students to be successful as well. And then also we have what's called the Success Series, and that comes from our first year experience office. And it's actually a series of workshops designed to help students get the most out of their Buckeye experience. So they get a chance to actually learn about campus resources and get answers to questions. And then also in their first semester, students take survey classes based on their college to really introduce them to Ohio State, their majors, the library system, et cetera. And then I think a really great feature is that every student actually has a peer mentor throughout their entire first year. And again, for it to be an institution of our size and be able to offer that for students is incredible, knowing that you've got a mentor there that you can lean on as you go and navigate your first year. Also, we have counseling and consultation services as well if students are ever feeling overwhelmed or stressed out. Also, we have our student health center if students get sick. And then obviously, as I mentioned, we've got our world-class Wexner Medical Center on campus as well. So lots of things in place to make sure that students are supported both academically and personally so that they can do their best work and have their best experience at Ohio State.
This is your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome back Sean Patel, who's the founder and CEO of Prep Expert. Sean, welcome back.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. And I'm so excited to announce that Prep Expert is the official title sponsor of the College Admissions Process podcast. This has been a partnership in the works for a while now, and I'm so glad we got it off the ground. We're so excited to work with families, parents, students of the College Admissions Process podcast at Prep Expert to help them through our live online SAT and ACT courses, not only improve their SAT and ACT scores, but help them get into college as well as win hundreds of thousands of dollars in college scholarships. Thank you so much for the partnership, and we are so excited to work with your families.
Thank you, Sean. And to learn more about how Prep Expert can support your child's academic journey, visit prepexpert.com today, and best wishes to all. Well, we really appreciate that. And as we said earlier, there's definitely something for everyone, not only in your classrooms, but beyond that as well. So in terms of the holistic review, Nancy, right? Everyone talks about that holistic review process. Can you walk us through your process at, of course, The Ohio State University? And what are the most important factors that make an application really stand out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we definitely, you know, as a large institution, we use a holistic application review process. You know, oftentimes you hear about that at smaller institutions, but that's what we do here at Ohio State as a large institution. And, you know, we don't simply use a GPA and a test score to determine admission, but we're really, truly taking the time to review each student's individual application. You know, we actually have 10 metrics that we use to consider in a holistic review. And obviously that students have completed the college prep requirements, right? We look at their high school performance and including, you know, participation in accelerated programs, if offered, like honors and AP and IB courses. We look obviously at standardized test scores. We are actually test optional and through 2025. So for our seniors this year, we continue to be test optional. You know, we look at how they have demonstrated leadership or engagement and involvement. We look at if there's an outstanding talent in a particular area, they may have status as a first generation student. you know, the ability to contribute and engage with a campus community, have qualities of collaboration, determination, and resilience, high school performance, and if it's adversely affected, you know, kind of thinking about those things. And then obviously, you know, benefiting from organized support services at Ohio State as well. So, and actually those are all listed. So we're very transparent with what we're looking for as we're reviewing a student through the holistic process. One thing that I will say is that as a large institution, we actually have a large group of very skilled application reviewers to handle the volume of applications we receive each year. Ultimately, we spend the time, you know, digging in and getting a chance to learn more about students, also within the context of their high school, right? So we want to put it in perspective so that we truly understand, you know, what background they're coming from within their high school. We spend time on the essay, you know, and I always say that's truly an opportunity for a student to be able to speak to us and give us a chance to know who they are. You know, obviously their involvement inside and outside of the classroom is key. One thing that's important to know about Ohio State is that we don't require recommendations from a teacher or a counselor. But if students want to include that, that's certainly their prerogative. And we'll read anything and everything that's in a student's application. So, you know, sometimes students may have done community service and they want to have, you know, a supervisor from their community service experience share something about that experience and a recommendation, that's fine. So just wanted to put that out there because there are schools that require them and schools that don't. But certainly if you submit it, we're absolutely going to take a look at that. The other thing that's really important to note is that we're actually major blind when we review applications. So we don't review them by majors or by territory for that matter. So students would be a direct admit into their major. And so that's something that, you know, is important to keep in mind. Not all large schools do that, but that's something that's important to us here at Ohio State. So we actually are a test optional institution and will remain test optional for 2025 for the seniors again. We will have a decision in January regarding our test optional policy going forward. The other thing I wanted to mention is that every application is reviewed at least twice, and some are actually reviewed even more than that by multiple people that are reading the applications here at Ohio State. And then also just wanted to make sure that I passed along, you know, if students have an opportunity to have any kind of additional academic experience, like an internship or a chance to do research, or they participated in a summer program on a college campus, those are always great and important to include. You know, we look at leadership and involvement, as I mentioned. Ultimately, we want students that are going to come and thrive academically at Ohio State, get involved, persist, graduate, go on and do amazing things like over 600,000 Ohio State alumni. You know, they're out there doing amazing things just like Jill is doing. And, you know, we're so proud of her as an alum as well. And so, you know, that's the ultimate goal, right, is to really take advantage of everything that a college has to offer. And we're certainly really thrilled about everything that we're able to offer students at Ohio State.
Well, thank you so much for offering a comprehensive answer. Number one, you talked about the 10 metrics. I appreciate you actually going into most of them, but also mentioning the fact that they are listed on your website. You're very transparent about that. I want to unpackage a couple of things that you said. First off, you mentioned the context of the high school that the student is coming from. I get a lot of questions from parents saying, is it true that a school like Ohio State, for example, they could only accept up to 4 kids from high school A, 5 kids from high school B, and that's it? Are there caps? Does it work that way? What do you mean when you're reviewing from the context of their high school?
Yeah, so there isn't a cap necessarily for an individual high school. What we really want to do is, you know, there are high schools out there that they may not offer one honors level course. They may not have an AP course. They may just have kind of standard courses, and the highest that it goes is physics, right, in sciences. Well, did a student take the highest level of courses that the school had to offer? Is how are they performing within their particular high school, not the high school down the road, right?
Right.
And there are big schools, there are small schools, you know, all of those things. So we really want to say, all right, we're looking at you within how you've performed in your particular high school. And, you know, we are looking at the GPA that the high school provides. So if whatever the GPA is that the high school provides is what we're using, whether it's a weighted GPA, whether it's an unweighted GPA, that's what we're looking at, because that's showing us what, how the student has performed within their particular high school. So that's really what we mean by context within the context of their high school.
Right. So you're taking the GPA as indicated on the high school transcript, but in terms of the context of the school, are you looking at the school profile? In other words, if one school offers 10 advanced placement courses and there's a limit in terms of how many they can take in 11th or 12th grade, while another offers 25 AP courses, how does the review process differ for those two students?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So that's where the high school profile is really critical in the process. Mm-hmm. And if we can get that in on students, that really helps us understand what the school's offering. But for example, with the AP courses, if we see that that a school offered 15 AP courses, let's say, and a student just took one, you know, we may pause and say, well, why is that, right? They've had so many opportunities to take more than that. So it really helps us understand what the school's offering, what the student has taken advantage of within their high school, and gives us a really good snapshot of that particular high school experience that a student's had.
Well, I appreciate that. And you also mentioned that the teacher letter of recommendation is not required. Certainly if a student submits it, it's something that you look at, but you made it clear it's not required. And you're not the only school that says this, right, in terms of the teacher letters of recommendation. So could you give us some insight in terms of, you know, why that decision? Like, why wouldn't they be required?
Yeah, you know, I think what was happening in the past, from what colleagues have told me, is that oftentimes we were waiting on those, some of those recommendations, and students were having challenges completing their application. And so a few years ago, a decision was made to forego requiring teacher recommendations or counselor recommendations, so that it took kind of that layer out of the process. And so, again, if a student submits one, absolutely fine, or two, or whatever it might be, we will absolutely review it, but we don't want that to hinder a student from being able to apply to Ohio State and complete their application.
Appreciate that, Nancy. And one other thing, because I want to make sure that I understood it right, because if I'm questioning it, I'm sure there's others out there. You mentioned that you are major blind, meaning that you're not reading an application based on the indicated major. However, if a student is accepted, they're automatically admitted to whatever major they indicated. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, there just want to make sure.
Yep, there are only two instances. We have a nursing pathway program where students can apply through that pathway program. And there's a select number of students that are selected to go into that. And then we have just four of our majors within engineering that are overprescribed, right? And that those particular four areas, students actually have to do a pre-major with. But otherwise, everything else, they're directly admitted into that particular major.
Well, I appreciate that follow-up, because you mentioned engineering and nursing, and earlier you talked about the fact that The Ohio State University is indeed test optional. However, for your more competitive programs, as you mentioned, nursing and engineering, do students need to submit scores if they're applying to those majors?
Yeah, at this point, they actually do not have to.
Okay, good to know.
So for example, with the nursing pathway, if they submitted it, we want to see that they at least have a 26 or higher in math on the ACT, SAT 610 or higher in math, if they've submitted it, but they don't necessarily have to. And as long as we remain test optional, that's the case.
Well, I appreciate that, because there are some schools that, as you know, are test optional. However, for a more rigorous program such as nursing, they require it if you're applying to that specific major. So a message to students and parents, it's always important to check the individual university's website for the latest and greatest information, just to keep up to date. So Nancy, we really appreciate that. Absolutely. Yes. And so what advice do you have for students when it comes to putting together a compelling personal statement that will stand out in the admissions process? And are there any examples that were truly memorable that you could share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I always encourage students, just tell your story, right? And tell your story in your voice. I always want to make sure that it's focused on them. So in the college search process, students obviously have to learn how to talk about their experiences And actually, they even have to brag a bit on themselves. And that's okay, right? We're all taught, don't brag. But it's okay, and we expect that. And so students should answer the topic that they've selected, or they can always pick topic of their choice, which always leaves it wide open, which is great on the common application. You know, obviously, it should be grammatically correct within the word limit, not too short, but ultimately easy for anyone to read and understand. That's really, right. really important, right? Right? Especially, you know, as you think about, as I mentioned earlier, we've got multiple people reading the application. So you want anybody that's picking up your application and reading your essay to understand it. So students ultimately take a lot of different approaches when writing essays. I had a student write their essay like a recipe. Which was really interesting. I also had another student write it like a play. But I had a student, one that was really extremely memorable. I had a student who talked about a red truck that each of their family members passed down, right? And so it was this student's turn to have the infamous red truck. It was so extremely creative, descriptive, funny. Definitely by the time I got done reading it, I wanted to completely meet this student. But I've also read some, and this is just a little tip, that are memorable in bad ways. So, you know, where students are sharing too much information or, you know, they tried to use the shock factor and it backfired. You know, ultimately, we just want students to be genuine and to be themselves, you know, and the application reviewer will easily learn more about them. And that's really what it comes down to.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, you mentioned a lot of different topics. For example, one wrote about a recipe, one wrote about a play, another one talked about a red truck that was passed down. And what the theme is with a lot of the reps is not so much what the topic is, but it's how you take the topic and really expose yourself, right? Really make it known in terms of who you are, what your personality is, what your thought process is. You know, if something happened, how did you pivot? How did you reflect? And frankly, you know, how are you going to continue to contribute to whatever community you're a part of? So again, we really appreciate that insight. So students, the lesson there, don't focus too much on the topic because it really could be about anything, but it's really about making sure that in that part of the application, you give an insight in terms of what your personality is so that you could help the admissions reps hopefully admit you. So how important is it for applicants to engage with the colleges through campus visits, virtual events, or other outreach? And Nancy, does this have any impact on their chances of being admitted? In other words, does The Ohio State University consider demonstrated interest in its admissions process? And if so, how is it tracked or evaluated?
Yeah, so we obviously always encourage students to see us, whether we're visiting their high schools or we're at a college fair, or they're connecting with us virtually, or obviously if they ultimately come to campus. So we always encourage that, you know, get an opportunity to learn more about Ohio State. However, given the size and the volume of our applicant pool, which was 80,000 applications this year, we do not consider demonstrated interest at all in our evaluation process. It would just be too hard to manage. But we absolutely encourage students, do your research, get out there, talk to people, you know, learn all you can about Ohio State, because that's what's going to be important as you're ultimately making a college decision.
Absolutely. And over 80,000 applications, what is the institutional priority in terms of the number of that freshman class that you're trying to bring to campus?
So we actually enrolled our largest freshman class in university history. We had 9,500 students this year. And the interesting part, as you know, this past year was really challenging with the FAFSA, with you know, kind of all of the changes and the challenges that it presented to colleges and to students and families. And so, you know, we absolutely wanted to make sure that, you know, we could navigate kind of all of the challenges, but wanted to make sure that we would end up with a really strong class. And we're very excited as we look at, you know, our overall enrollment. We were able to get everybody housed. We were able to get everybody the classes they needed, of those good things. So we're really, really pleased with how it shook out for our first year class.
That's awesome. And, you know, last question, and then we're going to bring Jill back in for a few final thoughts. So, Nancy, what are the different ways for a student to apply to The Ohio State? And I'm talking about early decision, early action, rolling, regular, whatever you have. And is there a benefit to applying one way over the other in terms of, first of all, being admitted or even being considered for any merit aid?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually have two ways that students can apply to Ohio State. We have early action, which has a November 1st deadline. And then we also have regular decision, which has a January 15th deadline. And that deadline is actually new this year. So we've changed it. So now it's January 15th. So if students want to be considered for merit aid, they must apply by November 1st, which is the early action deadline. They also need to apply by November 1st if they want to be considered for the early pathway in nursing, as I mentioned, or that group of four engineering majors. And so we try and make it a very easy process, but it is important that they have their application completed by those deadlines. So we don't want things lingering after that point. So we need a complete application by those timeframes.
Totally appreciate that. And I just want to repeat, for early action, the deadline is November 1st. However, if you want to be considered for merit-based scholarships, make sure that you meet that November 1st deadline. Or if you're interested in the nursing and engineering programs, and then you said you have regular decision with a new deadline of January 15th. Correct, Nancy?
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Fantastic. So before I get to the last question, I want to ask each of you, are there any questions I didn't ask, or frankly, a topic that I didn't bring up during this conversation that you'd like to share with us now? So for this one, let's start with Jill, and then we're going to come back to you, Nancy. So Jill?
No, I think you did a really nice job. I think we covered so much information. This has been really great.
Thanks a lot, Jill. Awesome to have you here today. How about you, Nancy?
Yeah, John, you know, again, appreciate so much to have been able to be here, and you covered so many great topics that, you know, I feel like students have learned so much about Ohio State at this point. And we touched on the organizations and certainly they're great ways to get involved and be leaders and give back to Ohio State and the community. So, I think we're in great shape. Thanks.
No, and I appreciate that. And, you know, the whole point of the podcast episode is for people to listen to it. And more importantly, hopefully it prompts them to come up with really good follow-up questions so that when they see you at a college fair or on campus, you know, they're ready for the next questions to continue the conversation. So, guys, I can't thank you enough. Jill and Nancy, you guys were awesome. It does lead us to the last question, which we'll start with Jill. Lastly, Jill, what are your top pieces of advice that you would give to students and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
All right. Well, first and foremost, I myself, as a helicopter parent, I think I'm the best helicopter parent because I know too much. And I call myself a momentary. Have you ever heard that expression that I made up? Probably going to go viral.
Well, helicopter for sure, but not a momentary. Tell us, Joe, what is that?
I made it up. A momentary is a mom that is a secretary. So I'm basically my child's personal assistant. So I really try to give up the role. And that's how I know how well Arden is doing and growing and thriving, because she really basically fired me from all responsibility, which is great. She really has, you know, really has taken off at Ohio State. So that's wonderful. So it really goes to show that ultimately, you do let your kids go and they do figure these things out on themselves, which I think a lot of parents are always anxious about and thinking, how are they going to be able to do this without me there? So that's very important. It really does play out where the kids actually do take control and they do take over and they do fly, which is great. But with regard to the college admissions process, I really think it's important to take advantage of this college's websites, again, the virtual information sessions and the tours. I think once the kids get accepted, doing the admitted student days are the best, because that's when the colleges really roll out the red carpet and really show the kids what they have to offer. Parents are always asking me, do I have to go out and see all these schools? As Nancy was saying, you know, not even a lot of schools even use demonstrated interest. There's a lot of families that can't afford to travel and spend money on flights and hotels. And also there are kids involved with sports and activities, and they really can't give up the time. And a good thing that came out of COVID, I guess, is that a lot of these colleges amped up their online platform. So you really get a real sense, although you're not at the university physically, you're there, you know, virtually, because you could really get a sense of the campus. And the evening programs, like I said, are great, because you're actually speaking to a live admissions counselor, which is really fabulous. And my last piece of advice would be to not listen to friends and neighbors. That is what causes the most amount of stress in a community, is when they're hearing not the facts, and everybody is getting false information and causing a stir and causing more anxiety. To me, if parents have questions about admissions or the process, speak to the college directly. Pick up the phone. You know, there are admissions counselors. You know, there's secretarial staff that can answer basic questions. Or how about your child's guidance counselor? Right, they're really knowledgeable and know more than your neighbor and parents, and or the private advisor like mm-hmm. me, or a private advisor who can help and answer these questions. And remember, it's a very exciting time. A lot of people do get anxiety around this, but with the proper help and support, this too shall pass. This shall pass. The kids do wind up at a great place. It's not about the bumper sticker on the back of the car or the bed parties, or really, it really has to be the best fit. And that requires research, right? And taking the time and have fun with the kids, because it's their senior year and this goes really fast. And these moments is so important to spend that time with your family, and don't talk about it at the Thanksgiving table. That is my big advice.
Well, those are great pieces of advice, Jill. I can't thank you enough for being here. I truly appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jill.
You're welcome.
Awesome. And Nancy, same question. What are your top piece of advice that you would give to students and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
Yes. Well, I can tell you, I shepherded both of my children through this process, and now they're actually full grown adults. And my daughter actually is a high school counselor, believe it or not.
Awesome. Awesome. Congratulations.
And my son is in law school, and an admissions mom is, quite daunting, but I will tell you that, it's so important for students and parents, just breathe, right? It can be overwhelming, and it definitely doesn't have to be. Ultimately, you've worked hard, right? And your family's been supportive, and you will end up at a great college where you're going to have an amazing experience. I always say try to learn this time, or try to use this time to learn more about yourself and your interests. What you're interested in could be completely different than what your friends might be considering. And that's totally okay. And it's really important to think, this really is a very independent process. Right. As you're looking for a college that's going to be the right fit for you. And so to keep that in perspective, I think, is really important. I loved what Jill said, and, the importance of using this time to be together, take some road trips or flights together to visit colleges. That's one of the things I enjoyed doing the most with my kids when they were looking at colleges. Everybody's so busy these days, and so it is a rare treasure to get to spend some quality time with your students. And so I definitely encourage that. To parents out there, let your student take the lead. I know that's hard to hear, but we encourage students to reach out to the colleges if they've got questions, they want to set up appointments or tours. It's really important that they be organized and meet those deadlines. They can definitely do it. They've navigated high school. They can definitely do this. I always encourage you, though, to be there on standby, right, to support them. Maybe a little few gentle reminders if needed, but to definitely let them take the lead in this process. And I will echo what Jill said, enjoy this time. It really can be a fun process. I know a lot of times for students, it feels like it's a whole nother class that they're having Absolutely. To do, right? But it really should be fun. And, admissions representatives are here to assist you. Answer your questions and provide you with the information that you need. So those would be my final words of advice to students and parents.
Well, Nancy, Jill, you guys are awesome. You talk about giving advice to the parents in terms of having quality time with their students through this process. Well, let me tell you, this was quality time. You guys represented the Ohio State University like no one else. I can't thank you enough, and I hope to have you back, both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And to everyone out there, good luck with the college search. Take care, all, and best wishes.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP.
Hey, podcast friends, if you've been enjoying the College Admissions Process Podcast, I'm excited to share my new book, Straight from the Admissions Office, Insider Strategies for College Applications. It's packed with insights and tips from over 250 podcast episodes with admissions professionals designed to make the college process less overwhelming. Whether you're a student, parent, or college counselor, it's a valuable resource for navigating the admissions process. By grabbing a copy, you're also helping to support the podcast. The links are in the show notes. Thank you, and best wishes to all with the college admissions process.